Chapter 7, Cloud Swing. At 9:30 p.m. in the late spring, it was still twilight in Amsterdam. As March got closer to the address, more people began to fill the streets. Young people streamed from tram stops, scooted around corners, walked in large groups, laughing. He joined the stream, heading to the very end of the block, where a small crowd was gathered. He'd spent the day moving like a ghost, gliding down back streets, crossing a street if he felt a glance on his profile, turning a shoulder, hugging a shadow. To be in a crowd unnerved him. He couldn't be sure that there wasn't a figure in a raincoat and black gloves, threading through the people, keeping him in sight. This couldn't be the address. The warehouse was abandoned, covered in graffiti. There were chains and a padlock on the doors. An old banner, tearing at the edges, was taped across the double doors. It read, Command X. The sun slanted through the industrial buildings, flashing the bricks with copper. A pale moon hung in the darkening sky. He felt as though he were balanced on a hinge between day and night, the knife's edge between one life and another. The crowd surged and receded. Young people dressed alike in a hodgepodge of circus and punk and old Hollywood glamour, top hats with fluttering ribbons, fishnet stockings on arms and legs, ripped t-shirts. Girls in tutus over shredded tights, their shoulders and backs inked with dragons and stars and blue moons. Guys in tuxedos with colorful striped vests. Hair the color of sunsets and day glow posters. March heard someone speaking English and drifted closer to a trio in their 20s, a girl with electric cobalt blue hair and two tall boys, one in a neon green cap that read, No logo. I saw them in Berlin last fall, the girl said. Are you sure this is the place? It's so sketchy. This is the way it always is, the girl said confidently. The window flashed red, and for a second, March thought the building was on fire. He took a step back, but the crowd pushed him forward. The doors burst open, the padlock falling on the ground with a crash. It's starting, the cobalt-haired girl said. March was a part of the crowd now, helpless with the tide as everyone flowed through the open doors. He was pushed into a vast space. A platform had been set up toward the rear. Two huge blank video screens flanked it. Strings of white and blue lights were woven around metal scaffolding and reached up in the air. Two men were quickly climbing the metal towers, one on either side of the platform, up to the beam above. The crowd seemed to know what to expect, and it faced the front. Absolute silence fell as a woman entered from behind the linen curtain, carrying a ukulele. Then the room exploded into applause and cheers, reverberating against the metal and brick. She stood, her chin lifted, giving no sign that she heard. She was dressed all in midnight blue, in tights and a corset, and an artfully frayed velvet frock coat. She wore a top hat that trailed long, tattered pieces of blue silk and net fabric that glittered with crystals. It's blue! The cobalt-haired girl cried. Her voice cracked with a sob of excitement. Blue's skin was pale, with a painted blue word running down her neck. Glancing at the close-up on the screen, March could make it out. T-E-A-R. Her eyebrows were drawn on her face in high feathered arches. They gave her an eerily alert expression. Her lipstick was dark and her mouth was wide. Even from here, March could see that her wide-set eyes were crystal blue. They glittered. She held up one hand and the crowd quieted immediately. Command, control, option, shift, she said. March was surprised to hear her American accent. We are made of bits and bytes. On our ether pathways, do we grasp the cosmos? She lifted her hand, and they followed the gesture. Directly above her head, framed in the skylight, was the moon, just as though she'd summoned it. She began to strum the ukulele. Find the thing you thought you lost in the place you never look, while letting go of what it cost, holding tight to what you took. It leaves too fast, it comes too slow. The space between us is what I know. Blue dropped the ukulele and lifted her hand. A spotlight appeared and hit a young girl high above them, sitting in a sling made of some kind of fabric. Music blasted through the speakers as the girl leaned forward and the sling began to swing. The girl rocked back and forth, gaining momentum with each sway. She wrapped her legs around the silk and let go of her hands, and everyone gasped. She spun crazily by her ankles while the audience cheered. March felt dizzy. The lights, the music, the glittery-eyed woman in the top hat, the girl spinning, his own lack of sleep. It all felt like a dream. Pinpoints of white and blue lights began to twirl around them. Blue climbed the scaffolding and hoisted herself up on the beam. The audience gasped as she threw herself into the air. She had wrapped the fabric around her ankles, and she twirled upside down above the ground. The girl tilted backward off the swing and reached out her hands to Blue. Blue pulled herself up until she was level with the young girl again. The two moved with the rhythm of the tune, entwining themselves again and again in the slender ropes of fabric as they swung upside down and then right side up and back again. It's like every dream I ever had, the cobalt-haired girl breathed. Or nightmare, her friend said. That was when they heard the sirens.